Father God, we come before you this morning, and I pray, Lord, that as we stand before you this morning, we are all growing in our spiritual walk. I pray, Lord, that our journey has taken us closer and closer to you. Help us, Lord, to be people who are diligent of the word and following you faithfully. Lord, I just lift up Roger and Becky, Philip, Indiana, Megan, Shannon, and Teresa. You just be with them as they're serving you faithfully where you have called them. And also want to pray for Justin and Velma, Travis and Bryson. You just give them knowledge, wisdom, and peace as they go navigate the journey they are on. You just be ever so close to them, and you would comfort them through the loss of Michael, God. Lord, I just want to lift up Mike to you this morning. Yes, you just bless him. Thank you for his willingness to come and share. Thank you. Bless him and his family, and just give us all a quiet heart as we drink in the truth this morning is taught. And I pray, Lord, that your will be done here this morning. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you.
Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to be with you this morning. Kind of a privilege to worship together with you here at Myerstown, bring you greetings from the Waterworks congregation. And I trust that this morning, as we look into God's word, God would speak to each one of us where we're at. We know the word of God is powerful and is able to change lives. So let's pray that that would happen this morning as we study his word together. This morning, I would like to consider the depths of God's knowledge of us, each one of us. And the message title this morning is Known by God. And I was just considering the knowledge that God has about us. God knows us. And my mind went to something totally different about knowing. And I had to think about the tech companies of our day and how much they know about us. And sometimes it's even a little disconcerting how much they know. Sometimes we have the feeling that they know too much. How much does Google or Apple or Facebook know about you? And it's a little scary sometimes to think about what all they can figure out about you, what your interests are, and what advertisements you might be interested in seeing. It seems that consumer data is very profitable these days, and advertisers want to know as much about you as possible. So there's an interest in knowing you. Sometimes you might even see an advertisement for something that you happen to be talking about not too long before, and you wonder, how did they know that? And it gives you an uneasy feeling. How did they know? And it makes you want to hide. You want to get away from whatever is finding that out about you. And maybe thinking a little bit differently, as we think about a close friend, a close friend will know you as well, but that's a little different than these faceless tech companies. A good friend will know a lot about you, your preferences and your likes and dislikes, your quirks, and sometimes a good friend can actually even tell what you're thinking without you telling them. They know you that well. They know right where you're at and how you're going to respond to something. And that's a sign of a good friend. That's somebody who really knows you well. But that's different than the tech companies, and we understand that there's a relationship there with your friend. That's different. You know, the engineers at Google, they don't really know you. They just know about you. And we talk about those differences. You might know about somebody, but you don't actually know them. And I think the relationship is really what makes a difference. That's key when we talk about the differences there. But as we consider God's knowledge of us, you just have to wonder, what is our response to God's knowledge? Do we think of it like those tech companies where we don't want God to know everything that's in our lives? Or is there a relationship there? Is there a connection? What's our reaction to God's knowledge of us? So this morning, I just want to consider being known by God, and it's a personal knowledge that goes beyond any tech company of our day or even a close friend. And my text this morning is Psalm 139, so you can turn with me there. Very familiar psalm. We probably quote at different times and maybe even have a verse from the psalm in our house somewhere. And as we read this psalm, I'd like for us to try to put on the mind of David as we read through this psalm. And maybe it's a different way to think about it, but you think about what David was writing here as he wrote. He was feeling a certain way. He was thinking a certain way. And you can see that by what he's writing, his approach toward God, and the awe and the reverence that he has. And I would like for us to try to find that same feeling as we read through here, the same feeling that he's expressing. And let's try to make it personal as we read through Psalm 139. So I'll read the whole chapter. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be as light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So in this psalm, we see a beautiful description of God's knowledge of us and his presence with us, and also a response. And there's a song that you might have heard, a song called All My Ways. I'm not sure how many groups would sing that. I know the Mullet family sings it. And it talks about how no matter what we're going through, God knows. If it's good times or bad times, God knows all of our ways. And I think that song is based at least in part on this psalm here. And that song was at least in part the inspiration for this message. So I was preparing this. I listened to that song different times, and it's thinking about God's knowledge of us, knowledge of all our ways. God knows where you're at and how you're doing better than any human would. And I remember thinking, as I listened to that song, that knowing that God has this knowledge of us can either be a joy and a comfort, Or it can be that uneasy feeling, that uncomfortable truth that God knows. And, you know, in the song it refers to it as a peace. Oh, what peace that I've found, that God knows all our ways. But it could go the other way as well. That uneasy feeling of somebody knowing every part about you, and it becomes a little bit like Google's knowledge of us. How do you know that? I don't want you to know that. How can I get away from you? So what's your response to that realization of God's knowledge of you? So I think our response shows where we're at with God in a way. So I have 3 points of reminder that I see David touching on here. So we'll look at 3 points, and then we'll also look at David's response towards the end. We see what his response was. So the first point of reminder that I see David giving us here is simply that God knows you. And we'll look at verses 1 through 12 in this reminder here. So this psalm describes in a very poetic and memorable way the doctrines of God's omniscience and omnipresence. And those are fancy words that basically just mean God is all-knowing and all-present. So that's referring to that in this psalm here. And I believe what David writes about here, it's a personal testimony for him. He's sharing what was going through his mind. I believe it's true for each one of us today as well. It's not something that was just true for David, no, but it's true for us as well. This knowledge that God has of each one of us is true today. And there's several different words that he uses to describe how God knows us and different aspects of what it is that he knows. And I'd like to look at those words, how he describes this. Verse 1, he talks about searching and knowing. And this has the idea of exploring and digging into something, finding out everything that might be there. Just like you might explore a new building. And you want to find out what's in. You go through all the different rooms and you open up the closets and the cabinets. And, you know, I found myself doing that just this last week. I'm stepping into the administrator role at Gaiman School, and I had some time there, and I figured I should probably know what's here in the building. So I was just going around and exploring, opening up the closets and the cabinets. What's in here? I should know what's here. And that's how God knows us as well. He knows what's in all the closets and behind all the closed doors. God knows you. Verse 2 talks about understanding. God understands. It's not just seeing what's there, but knowing why it's there. It's going beyond just seeing it. There's an understanding and a discerning. God knows why everything is there in the closet. Verse 3 talks about compassing. You compass my path. And basically comprehending. And in geometry, there's an instrument used to create a circle. It's called a compass. And I think that's the idea of what this is getting at here, compassing, compassing. And I just imagine a line of vision that God has that goes the whole way around us. So it's not just from one side, but it's all around. God is compassing us. We talk about having a well-rounded knowledge of something. And that means you can see it from all the different angles. I think that's what he's getting at here. God has a comprehensive knowledge of you. It's not just from one side, but it's all around. And verse 3, also we see the word acquainted. God is acquainted with all your ways. To be acquainted with something is to know by repeated interaction, to become familiar with. It's not just a one-time observation. To become familiar with something, you see it over and over again. And it's talking about familiarity. God is acquainted with all your ways. We also see the word beset in verse 5. God has beset us and has the idea of being hedged in. God is all around us. We can't you know, get away. We're hedged in. And these are all the words that he uses to describe how God knows you. And it's not talking about just a surface level knowledge, but it's something that goes deep. God knows everything in your life. We can also look at the substance of what God knows. What is it that God knows? First of all, he knows your down sitting, your uprising from verse 2, your laying down, verse 3. Basically, God knows what you're doing, what it is that the things that you do. He knows your thought in verse 2. He knows what you're thinking about and what your mind is dwelling on. That's the piercing aspect of God's knowledge. That goes beyond what any person or a company can do. It's not limited to the external, but goes right into your mind and your thoughts. He knows your path. From verse 3, he knows where you're walking. And I think it's both in a literal sense, you know, what you're doing, but also you think about the path of life as the direction you're going in life. Where the decisions that you're making now are going to lead you. God knows where you're going to end up, your path. I think we can think about that as your path in life. And also verse 4, the words that are in our mouths, and it seems like it's before we even say them. God knows the words that we say and the thoughts that we intend to say. And he sums it up by saying that this knowledge that God has of him is just too wonderful. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And he can't even fathom or comprehend. I think he says it, attain. I cannot attain unto it. You just can't wrap your mind around it. And then he moves into a little bit different thought about getting away from God. We considered a little bit of having somebody know so much about you, it can give an uneasy feeling. And maybe you want to get away from that. And he talks about that a little bit here, verses 7 through 12. Can we get away from God? If that makes you uncomfortable, you know, how do you know that much about me? I want to distance myself from you. And he's basically saying that you can't do that. You can't hide from God, if that is our reaction. Because wherever you go, whatever you try to do to hide, it's not going to work. He talks about different things that you could try, ascending up into heaven, making your bed in hell, and going to the uttermost parts of the sea. No matter where we go, God is still there. It says his hand is still holding you. And even the darkness is not a cover, because usually darkness is a good way to hide. You know, if you want to hide from somebody, just find the dark and you can slip away. But that doesn't work with God. He says even the night shines as the day. So we can't use the darkness to hide. Darkness and the light are the same thing to God. And so basically you can't get away from this all-encompassing and piercing knowledge that God has of you. So this first section of reminder that David is giving us here is that God knows you. And you can't hide from that. All of your ways are known by God. And so the next point of reminder is that God made you. So the first point is God knows you. And in verses 13 to 16, we see him talking about how God made you and the miracle of life. And I believe this is one of the fundamental principles that we all need to remind ourselves of, is that God made you and that your life is a miracle and it's not an accident. God didn't mess up when he made you. God made you. And he was there when you were being formed in the womb, covering you. Verse 13, we see that God is covering each one of us in our mother's womb. And also in verse 15, we see the phrase curiously wrought. And I think another way you could say that is intricately designed. Each one of us are intricately designed by God in the womb. And while we were in the womb, God knew us. God saw us. And we often hear these verses in relation to pro-life demonstrations. And I believe this is one of the clearest passages that speaks to that. Just the fact that God is involved with the whole process of life before birth. God knows us even then. When we were developing, as it says in verse 16, when we were yet unperfect or not fully formed, you know, God still knew us even then. And there's a lot that could be said about that. You know, our world today is confused on answers about when does life start. And it's sad to see the answers that some people come up with. But they're looking to philosophy and ethics to come up with an answer. But here in God's word, we see the clear answer of God being involved with life before birth. And there's much more that could be said about that. But the main point from these verses here is just a reminder that God made you. And there's a miracle in the fact that you have life, and a miracle in the fact that you have the body that you do. It's intricately designed and formed by God in the way that He decided. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And there again, speaking to the same thing. God knew you even before you were born. Your life is a miracle. God formed you in the womb. He made you, and He knows you. And when we bring all this to mind, can we say, like David does in verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And just marvel at God's amazing work that He's done. Like he says in verse 6, it's just too wonderful and too amazing to comprehend, to wrap our minds around. So God made you. That's the second point. And then thirdly, third point of reminder is that God cares for you. God is thinking about you in a very personal and caring way. And we see this in verses 17 and 18, where he says, "How precious are your thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." So it's not like God is just keeping track of you in this distant and impersonal way. Maybe sometimes it feels like that. But let's not fall into that mindset that God is distant and just is kind of like the tech companies keeping track of you. But God cares about us, and He has precious thoughts for each one of us. Let's not fall into the mindset that God maybe cares about other people, but doesn't care about me, or maybe not as much. I think that's a lie of discouragement that we need to fight against. So we see a reminder here that God does care about each one of us, and He cares about each one of us a lot. My mind goes to the familiar verse in John 3:16, where He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Now that just gives another glimpse into the extent of God's love. It goes deep into the extent that He's willing to give and sacrifice His Son. That's how much God cares. Our God is a personal God, one whose thoughts about you and about me are both precious and vast. In verse 18, He says they're more in number than the sand. You can't count them. You can't keep track of them. And I think we need to keep that in our minds, because it's so easy to forget and to lose sight of that. So three points of reminder that David gives us: God knows you, God made you, and God cares for you. Now I want to think a little bit about our response. So we look at David's response here, and see what his response was to that. Our response to this knowledge and care that God has for us is really important. Are we reacting with that uneasy feeling of wanting to get away, or do we embrace that and find peace in that? Let's think about David's response here a little bit. So verse 19, he responds almost with an outburst against the wicked in his zeal, and it's quite a dramatic shift from what he was talking about to verse 19. And it's almost like, you know, I just consider him just being lost in this realization of God's knowledge of him, God's care for him, and then he comes back to reality, and he has this holy zeal of wanting to separate himself from anything ungodly. And maybe we get almost a little uncomfortable with some of the words that he uses here. He's calling down destruction on the wicked. Verse 19, surely you will slay the wicked. He talks about perfect hatred in verse 22. And usually we don't talk like that. I think the point is that as he is contemplating this closeness of God and God's knowledge of each one of us, that he's resolved to holiness. And I think that's really what he's getting at. And he wants to separate himself from wicked men. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Verse 19. And those who take God's name in vain, he wants to be separate from them. Doesn't want anything to do with that. And he's grieved by it and disturbed. And I don't think the hatred that he's talking about here refers to animosity and bitterness. I think it's more so just this zealous desire to separate himself from anything that's ungodly. As he considers God's knowledge of him, and he's wondering if there's anything in his life that would make God want to separate himself from him. That's his response, just a urge to holiness. And then he turns to his own heart in verses 23 and 24. And this is where we see this beautiful invitation for God to search his own heart. Is there anything in my life that would cause God to want to separate from me? Is there any wicked way in my life? Anything that doesn't line up with your desire. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So he opens the psalm by saying that God has searched. You have searched and known. And he ends by inviting God to keep on searching. Search me and know my heart. And for us, this morning, I would like us to consider, first of all, the wonder of being known by God. He knows you through and through. He knows all your ways. He made you, and he cares about you. And as you think about that, what is your response? Do you want to run away and hide? Is it unwelcome? Or is your response that of inviting God in and an invitation to search and to try your heart and to allow God to lead us in the way everlasting? And maybe that same zeal for holiness and separation from wickedness. Can you open your heart and your mind and allow God to search out and point out anything that might need to be changed? So I trust that this morning each one of us can find peace in the fact that we are known by God, and that it wouldn't result in that uneasy feeling of wanting to get away, but that it's welcome. And I hope that there's a relationship there, and that we would be motivated to holiness, to walk in holiness. There's the beautiful poetry that we see here in Psalm 139, and I trust that can be an encouragement for each one of us in our walk. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this psalm that shows clearly the fact that you know us. You know us through and through. You know our ways. You know our thoughts. You know our path. And you care for us. And I pray that as we take that to heart, that we would find that response of invitation, inviting you in and allowing you to work in our lives and pursue that growth that you want for each one of us. I pray for your blessing on each one here as we pursue growth in you. I pray that as we go about this week ahead, that you would guide us in your ever-present knowledge of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Leave a song.